never rests.
Jake Roos, Jake Rowe, The Georgia Show with you once again. And the going home show here, as they call it in the world of wrestling. This is the one before the one, right? Georgia Marshall on deck for this weekend. Our last show before we get to that. And as always, our show presented by our friends at American Pride Bank. If you're looking for personalized banking solutions, get with American Pride Bank. See how they can help you out with that. You can reach them at AmericanPride.bank or branches in Athens, Alpharetta, et cetera, et cetera. Small business loans, personal banking, whatever it is that you may be seeking for your banking needs, American Pride Bank is the one to talk to. Get with them. See how they can help you today. They are a member FDIC and an equal opportunity lender. Jake Rowe, it is finally time. It is the final Georgia show before the opener of the season. And that, I don't know, Jake, I guess that I, after a string of long, I feel like Georgia's had some really good opening games. I guess what I'm trying to get at. This one, I'm just not as excited about. I got to tell you, to me, and I said this on the show the other day, I said it on the board. This feels like a season that's going to begin in week three. And so I don't feel like I'm going to learn a lot about Georgia these first 2 weeks. I don't feel like I just can't get juiced about it, man. I'm sorry. I mean, it's cool that it's back. I mean, I'm excited that football's here again, but the real football to me takes place in 3 weeks.
I tell you what, you must not have covered the barn burners that I covered last year. These games are great, dude. These are it's nice going into a game, you know, knowing Georgia's going to win. I don't know that we'll learn a lot, but I don't know that we'll learn a whole lot about Georgia against Tennessee either. You know, just because you know, kind of reading some of the reports out of Knoxville and quarterback situation, things of that nature. But, I mean, a little bit of a runway. The schedule actually sets up really nice for Georgia in terms of who they are this year, breaking in some new parts, trying to untangle some stuff, wanting to play a lot of guys. You know, I've kind of gone back and forth over the years. Patty cakes early in the season have never really bothered me.
It doesn't bother me. It has its place, and I don't mean to say that. It's not that I'm, like, bummed about it. It's just that I know what's going to come out of this, and it's going to be, no matter what happens, ultimately, I think gross overreaction will be a natural. I mean, because that happens after every game, but it's going to be these two games that Georgia, quite frankly, could probably send out the freshmen and win.
You ever seen a thread over at Dogs HQ? It happens. Gross overreaction after every play, brother. Yeah, after every play, you snap the ball and they're getting wild. Man, I do love that passion though. It's so fun. It's funny. It's entertaining. But I mean, listen. Trying to break in Gunnar Stockton, some new pieces on the offensive line. We're going to get into some of this a little bit later, kind of in more detail when we kind of talk about Kirby. But, you know, just a runway to get into the season, just a little bit of an off ramp before you get on the interstate, I think for Georgia is a pretty good thing. I mean, you got two heavily favored games that are going to win, and then eight straight SEC games, and then two non-conference games. I mean, it's just kind of, you know, two bookends. Obviously, you got the showdown there with Georgia Tech at the end. But, you know, this I do like the way this schedule sets up. And you know, Marshall, we'll get into Marshall in this a little bit too, but it's kind of like, yeah, there's a lot to expect. You know, a lot to ponder in terms of what Marshall is about. You know, and what they're going to look like from a team perspective. But, you know, the expectation is that Georgia is going to go out there, handle business, you know, and try to, you know, get their experienced guys plenty of reps and competition, but also get a lot of other people reps in competition. And one of the things that you do when you start the season fast, like they did against Clemson and, you know, a couple of times here, Oregon, one of the things that this allows you to do is it kind of guarantees you some playing time for some guys that you really want to find playing time for. And, you know, you go through camp. This is, you said it, I think, is almost an extension of preseason camp. Yes. Is the way this kind of shakes up. And I don't hate it. I just don't, especially not for this particular Georgia football team.
No, I mean, for these guys, it's probably a godsend to some degree. But I do – look, you know, if Gunnar Stockton throws a pick, we're going to hear – endless people try to break down, you know, is Ryan Puglisi ready? Is, you know, you know where I'm headed with all of this. I mean, it's if Daniel Harris gives up, I mean, if the secondary gives up a touchdown at all, you're going to have questions about that. Where's the deal? They should have brought in a second safety. They, you know, I mean, it's just endless. And so my hope is that people will be measured about it. I don't expect that they will. Because I know good and damn well that they won't. As they never are. But I hope that it goes very smoothly. And like you said, I do think that it's a nice way for Georgia to kind of ease into this season. I think that that's super advantageous, especially breaking those new pieces in. Not everybody has that luxury, man. I mean, it's going to be hell for some of these guys in the first couple of weeks. You know, if you're Auburn, I'm probably biting my nails right now a little bit, right? Texas, Ohio State, we're going to learn a lot about both of those teams off the rip. But I think that this is an opportunity to learn a lot about this team's depth, I guess, is probably the best thing that we can take from these first 2 weeks. I don't know. What are you even hoping to learn from the first 2 weeks?
We're not going to learn a whole lot. I mean, you certainly, here's the thing. I don't think if Georgia goes out and doesn't handle business and struggles, I don't think we know a whole lot about this team, because they're going to get better. How much better? I don't know. If Georgia goes out there and blows them out, we're not going to learn much about this team. It's mainly like, unless Georgia goes out there and just blows them away, it's going to just be kind of questions and sure, you know, us having to kind of figure out, hey, what's possible, what's out there, and that's something that, you know, it's just inevitable. I mean, it really is. It's inevitable. And I just kind of think about this game and the way all of this sets up is like I said earlier, the extension of preseason camp, the extension of position battles. You know, shoot, man, I don't really see Georgia getting out of this game without playing some of its kind of depth pieces pretty early. Not necessarily when the game gets out of hand, but you know, and we'll get into Kirby's comments about that later. But my thing is like, this team is really talented. This team is really young, and I think that these first two games, if nothing else, you know, throw out the ability to kind of get ready for the season and stuff like that, I think it kind of shows you how many guys you feel like can play winning football, and you know, maybe you get some film on your own players and kind of how they react to that environment, because it is different. It is different in terms of how you react to the crowd and the noise and the energy that comes in there. Like, are you the kind of kid that can think and maybe you lock in when the lights flip on, or are you the kind of kid that kind of gets a little frazzled there and you need to get some nerves out? And I think the fact that Georgia's got a young team is, and I will say this, Marshall's talking a lot, seems like, you know.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
I think their coach said something about they're not just coming to Athens to collect a check. They'll mail you the check, man. I don't think you can come get it.
And I think, Jake, for me, part of what has me kind of meh about this opening weekend is that if this were a Marshall of old, right, let's say 15 years ago Marshall, I'd probably be a little bit more intrigued. But this is a Franken team, essentially, what they're dealing with here. I mean, it's a hodgepodge of pieces all mixed together and trying to make something of it. I don't know. I think that that's part of it, because not that they necessarily would have had any strong advantage 15 years ago, but they would have been a more cohesive unit as opposed to what we're going to see on Saturday.
Certainly. I absolutely believe that. And I did see Georgia play Marshall once, I believe. I think it was back in like 2004. And it wasn't really a pretty game. I know Georgia won it pretty handily, but it wasn't really a pretty game. I wanted to flash the weather up here. I saw somewhere else where the high was going to be 79. We're looking at 51% chance of showers. Nice cool day for the folks coming to the game. Maybe that rain will hold off and you'll get some kind of partial cloudy stuff. But, yeah, I mean, you know, 76, you couldn't ask for anything better just in terms of weather and what you're going to expect there too. So I wanted to throw that out there because, obviously, brother, you can burn up in Sanford Stadium.
Oh, no question.
I'm sorry, August, in late August. So that's something there. I mean, you know, maybe not. You'll need our partner here.
One of the hottest times of my life was against Central Michigan. When they played,
I remember the Georgia Southern game.
That was a very hot one too. That was the other one that I was going to mention. Those were scorchers. But look, if you got on your Sun Heist, man, you ain't got to be worried about the scorchers. All right, you got your hater blockers on. You got your UV protection, and Sun Heist got you covered, man. Tons of different styles to pick from. You can get over and save 20% off your purchase with code DOGSHQ20. And so whether you're looking for performance, sports, polarized, no matter what style of sunglass you're looking for, they got something that can help you get where you want to be, help you look how you want to look, do the thing you want to do. A number of different ways, like I said, to customize the frames, to customize the lenses, tons of different ways to get that all set up. Jake Rowe has been eyeing these Redwoods. He continues week in and week out to build the same pair of sunglasses here on Dogs HQ. Very clear what you can get Jake Rowe if you would like to for Christmas. But no, listen, this is a local to Athens company. Huge supporters of the Dogs. Just great people. Amazing customer service. We talk about that constantly, but I don't think we do enough of it. It's super quick shipping, returns, etc. Work with Sun Heist, man. Get yourself some new shades. The season's here, man. You're going to be tailgating. You're going to need them. 20% off your first purchase with code DOGSHQ20. Get over and check them out today. Jake Rowe, Kirby Smart is done talking. He's over it. Talking season's over for Kirby Smart. And I get it. I understand why. I think that this is – you're just into redundancies now, ultimately, in a lot of cases. But it was a little bit more curt Kirby this week. And I'm curious what you picked up from Kirby Paul Smart this week in terms of his demeanor toward the media.
Yeah, he wasn't so bad on Monday, just very serious, kind of back to surly Kirby a little bit, just a tiny bit, and then it just got worse seemingly as the week went along. You know, Jeremy covered Tuesday night's press conference, and man, it wasn't a bad mood. He was just very short, very terse, truculent, you might say. I'm trying to use some words here. I don't know. I feel like I just picked up on somebody who just kind of has it locked in. And you know, we know that since the end of last season, Kirby's been through a lot, you know, lost his dad early last year, and he's been dealing with a young team. I'll be honest with you, and I don't think this had any effect or anything. I thought Kirby was kind of nice last year, you know, kind of nice and complimentary. Yeah. And you know, talked about this and that, and, you know, talked about loving guys maybe more, you know, almost sounded like Mark Richt at times, you know, just in terms of, you know, just being a good man, sweet man. But this year has just been so different. He's, you know, and I don't think anything, you know, I don't think it's going to matter for Georgia. I don't think that's going to win them any games. But I don't know, maybe the guy behind all of that is the guy that's maybe demanding more, or you know, it just in terms of fire, passion, and energy. execution, maybe more of his coaches, you know, and you know, because I still believe and I stand by, I think some of those guys struggled last year and didn't have their best seasons. But I'll point that, you know, I'll give you a ton of different examples if anybody wants to hit me up about it, of really good coaches that didn't have great years. I mean, it happens. So Kirby's had years when he was at Alabama where he didn't have great years as a defensive coordinator. You know, I mean, that's part of it. But I just get the feeling of a guy that has a seriousness about him. Back to kind of something that I really remember him. It's like, hey, I felt like every single time we sat in front of Kirby for a press conference, it was almost like he was a little angry at us because we were wasting his time. That he'd rather be doing something else, that he'd rather be coaching, that he'd rather be doing some film stuff or game planning or whatever. But it just, I'm back to feeling like, hey, you know, I think Kirby hates us because we're wasting his time.
Yeah, which is, I will say, I feel like that's kind of typical of this time of the year, right? I mean, right ahead of the first game. If he's going to reach that point, that's typically when he hits it. But yeah, I could see that. I definitely understand where you're coming from there. And I do think, though, also that it makes sense from the perspective of, I mean, you and I opened this show by kind of openly deriding the first 2 weeks and talking about how there was not maybe there's a lack of seriousness, at least from the media, and how we feel Georgia is approaching these first 2 weeks in terms of they just don't need to really worry about it too much. I am certain that is not the message that Kirby Smart is sending to these guys. So I understand that as well. It's probably an offset to what is a constant barrage for these guys of these first two games don't matter.
I wonder how many times they've seen that block kick from Appalachian State to beat.
Yeah, sure.
Or how many times Kirby has brought up the – I can't remember. Was it losing to Monroe? And he wasn't there. Was he there that first year at Alabama?
I can't recall, but it was ULM. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Was he at Alabama in 2007? I'm pretty sure he was. I think he was DB's coach. And then he took over for defensive coordinator the following season from Kevin Steele. But you know, there have been upsets, and I'm sure that George has been reminded of all of those. And you know, These games are not easy from a coaching perspective. I can guarantee you that. Sure. I really think Georgia struggled with them last year. Not necessarily Tennessee Tech so much because they just kind of overwhelmed Tennessee Tech. But you could tell, man, Georgia was not locked in defensively against UMass. You could tell, it was almost like just kind of watching that game unfold, like. The defense just never really fell into it. They never fell into any sort of groove, and UMass kept putting up some points, and you know, Georgia would struggle to tackle. Their heads weren't in it. And maybe a young team, maybe a hungry team, because Jeremy wrote the story today, and I thought it was pretty interesting. That word has been thrown around a lot. Hungry, hungry, hungry. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that Georgia is young. And I think there's a benefit. There can be a benefit if it's played right and you've got the right guys where, hey, you may have a group of veterans, a smaller group of veterans than normal, who are kind of, we've been there, we've done that, we've played in these games. We know how seriously they need to be taken. We've been scared in some of these games, you know, your Zachariah Branches and Noah Thomases and Dylan Bells and things like that. But also you've got the next group of players, which are a bunch of young guys that haven't really, you know, had their cage rattled yet, but doesn't matter necessarily for them because they're just ready. They're ready to do this. They're ready to get a really big shot. I mean, Justin Williams and even Chris Cole, like they've never put 30 snaps on film. They've 30, 40 snaps out there. They want that opportunity. You know, Elo Madozi, a guy that's coming from Army, gets a chance to finally put on the red and black, play in front of 90,000 people. Bo Walker and some of these freshmen, they're going to be excited about this opportunity. So I do think that again, it's not easy. It's not easy as a coach to kind of get your team ready to play and take a game like this seriously. But I think Kirby, the fact that Kirby has been so serious, that Kirby has been kind of so just kind of short with us and matter of fact. I think, I don't know, maybe that does bleed back to the practice field, because I've heard nothing but good things about how Georgia has practiced, the energy they've had at practice and the way they've gone about things. That's one big consistent throughout preseason camp is, hey, the offense may have got whipped today, the defense may have got whipped today, but it was a very energetic practice, and they haven't heard much about them having any draggers or any struggles.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think a lot of it, like you said, hungry and proving it. And, these young guys want to get in there and make it happen. Speaking, though, of making it happen, the fake news made it happen when it came to Janelle Aguero.
Fake news.
Kirby calls.
To be fair, nobody wrote about it. Okay. One person posted an article. I'm guessing Kirby got some text messages from media. Hey, what's going on with Janelle Aguero? It was a message board phenomenon a little bit. I don't think it was total misinformation. Sounds like there was an injury in practice and it didn't look great, but I've never known Kirby to come out and just out and out lie about an injury. He's downplayed.
No.
He's never come out and said, hey, he's fine. He's completely healthy. And then a guy actually be hurt. So this may be the first time.
But Kirby, no, and I don't think he will be. I don't think that that's the case. But Kirby is want to.
There's something about the way you're saying Kirby tonight that's really kind of scratching my brain a little bit. It's making my brain. Kirby, there's something about the way you're saying it.
He's not, he doesn't lie, but he's not exactly. I mean, the guy's not what you'd call forthcoming either. There's been a lot of day-to-days that ended up being 2 months.
He doesn't lie, but he's not forthcoming.
Yeah, he's not just saying – he's not saying the guy is not injured, right? I mean, if a guy's day-to-day, he's injured. We were trying to get him back. But it's 2 months, right, at some points. So it's like he can shape the truth to be what he wants it to be. Now, in this one, he was explicit, right? He said that he expects Aguero to be able to go on Saturday.
He said he's fine. He's completely healthy, fully healthy, somewhere along those lines. Give me a filibuster for a second. Give me some time to look that up.
Well, look, this is a bit more – I do think this is a bit more of a definitive statement than we're used to getting from Kirby when it comes to a guy like this. I think that typically he would hedge his bets, looking to get him out there, excited to have him be with us on Saturday. Go for it.
He said he's completely fine. He's healthy and ready to go. Looking forward to him continuing to grow and get better. So
he didn't really guarantee you he'd be out there on Saturday.
I'm looking at it. But when he says he's completely fine, he's healthy and ready to go, that's a strong indication that he'll be out there.
I agree. And that doesn't feel like to me that he's kind of tweaking the truth. That feels like an outright, here's what's going on. So in this regard, I'm not super concerned when it comes to Aguero. And that's how are you feeling about this, though, Jake? Let me pick your brain here for a second. How are you feeling about the possibility that they might be without Janelle Aguero, even for that brief moment?
Not really concerned about it first two games.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, but I assume if he says he's completely fine, healthy and ready to go, he's not going to miss more than two games at least. So I think Georgia will be fine without him for these first two games. Heck, they might be fine at Tennessee considering I don't know if you've done any reading, but the offense over there seems like it's a big problem. And I remember Tennessee.
I'm not suggesting that he's going to be missing. I'm just saying, let's assume.
You reported it. That's what you said.
Let's assume that Georgia was without Aguero for, let's say, five games, right? Maybe an extended. It's at the time what we were hearing at the time sounded like something nasty had happened. There was a pop, right, or something of that nature. There was like a sound, and it didn't sound good. What we were hearing on it, the star position is one of the more interesting ones to me in that. Do you feel like you have a clear feel on the second guy? Do you think it would be Ja'Cory Thomas and then you take
Adrian Maddox, I would say, as far as handling the lion's share of it. And I think, Jaden Harris has repped it. Rashawn Dinkins has repped it. Kirby mentioned those two guys. Yeah, I don't really like. Again, I just don't have a lot of big concerns about that spot. You know, early in the season, I think if you're going to get Jonah Aguero back by Alabama, who has now got a couple of key guys that are, you know, Tim Keenan, defensive lineman, and Jam Miller, that are going to be iffy at least, you know, coming back before Georgia. Now it looks like, you know, I think if you definitely try to want him back for that game, but I don't. You know, with the stuff going on at Tennessee with their offense and things like that, I just think that Georgia would be fine without him for two or three games. But you know, by all accounts, he's had a good preseason. You know,
you don't think that this Tennessee stuff is some fake news of its own?
No. Like coming from a mile away. You know, when they lost Nico, and even after that, I mean, you know, they didn't. Listen, I remember Tennessee fans being in my DMs a couple years ago, me kind of saying, hey, I think that after the Hendon Hooker season, after that magical, you know, 2022 where they weren't nearly as good as they thought they were, and Connor Stallions helped South Carolina beat them, apparently. since that season, you know, I came into next year, hey, I think Tennessee's probably going to take a step back offensively. They lost Hendon Hooker and Jalen Hyatt and all these other guys. I remember Tennessee fans in my DMs. Listen, we'll never have to worry about offense as long as Josh Heupel's the head coach. That's all they've done since is worry about offense, because they hadn't had a good one since. So sure. They run the ball pretty well. You know, and they do a pretty good job with that, but otherwise they really struggle. And so, I mean, I think Georgia would be fine with him, without him, sorry, for two or three games. But I don't expect him to miss two or three games with Kirby talking like that. And again, you know, we're kind of breaking down the language here. We're not, you know, listen, he didn't get the kiss of death. He didn't get day-to-day, which is, you know, big in this situation. Hoping to get him back, also kiss of death. You know, maybe about to lower him.
Working through some things.
Yeah, about to lower him. There may be an amputation if he says we're hoping to get him back. He said he's healthy and ready to go. So I'm going to take Kirby at his word there and break out my little binoculars and look for number 8 on defense in pregame and see what's going on.
Makes sense to me. Makes sense to me. Look, if you're looking for some good eats, though, get over, check out our friends at Whataburger. The touchdown tour is coming to Athens. You can get over and find out some more details about that. It'll be at the Kentucky game. That'll be October 4th, Georgia versus Kentucky. You can get with the Whataburger food truck. We'll be out at the game. So really excited about the tailgate tour with them. When first unwrapping your Whataburger, you may find yourself awestruck by what's in front of you. Hot, fresh, and made to order on a 5-inch toasted bun with 100% never frozen American beef patty grilled to perfection. Melty cheese, crisp, hand-chopped veggies, and mustard. It may look like more art than food. Some even consider it a masterpiece. They aren't wrong. Whataburger. Just like you like it.
Okay. You almost did that perfectly. Yeah.
I know. I almost got it.
you almost went out of there without a hitch. And now I'm just unsettled. Plus, you didn't do it.
My first one. I'll get it this season. I'll nail one this season. But yeah, get geared up for the touchdown tour with Whataburger.
Hey, I need to tell you something real quick. We got an old friend of ours has come back into the fold. Our friends Palmer? At GameTime.co.
Oh, I thought Palmer was back. there we go. All right, GameTime.co. Look, if you listen to the show for the last couple of years, I know that you know these guys. Great deal on your tickets. $42 to get in on Saturday against the Thundering Herd. So, Game Time brings the game to you. Super seamless interaction on the app. It's right to you, man. You can see the view from your seat, which I love. I think that's such a killer feature. And like I said, I tell you this about some of these products. I've used this one myself. I really had a really nice experience with Game Time. It's a great product and super, super helpful. You can use code ON3. Code ON3. For $20 off your first purchase. Now, terms do apply, but get over there and check it out. You can get over and get into Sanford Stadium with a great set of tickets.
And I've got to highlight these $73 40-yard line seats right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, man.
These are $73 a piece. That's not too bad. So if you're looking for a good seat to the game, you got some more under $100 here, 40-yard line type stuff. You know, sit right here on like the 10, you know, for $92. So there's some good options there on game time. And like Ruth said, on three, code on three, and you can save a little money there. Terms apply.
All right. Rock and roll. Jake, Georgia versus Marshall.
Been watching film on the Thunder and Herd all day long. This Randy Moss cat is dangerous.
I hope you've been watching film on Carlos Del Rio Wilson. From back in the day, man, a guy that I covered when he was in Rising Seniors long, long time ago, a former McEachern guy, former Cartersville guy, former Florida guy, former Syracuse guy, a guy has bounced around a little bit in his career. But that's kind of the story for the whole group of Marshall players. This is like somebody on the board said, and rightfully so. And from this aspect, I think it's kind of cool. They kind of compared it to Last Chance U. There's a lot of redshirt seniors on this team, man. There's a lot of guys that are looking for some exposure and an opportunity to kind of give it one last go, make one last hurrah of it, put some film on that maybe will catch somebody's eye. And so this Marshall team is very interesting for that reason, Jake. I mentioned earlier, the hodgepodge doesn't inspire confidence in me. It doesn't make me think that they are going to be much of a threat to Georgia. But it is one of the more unique scenarios, I think, that we've ever seen in college football.
Yeah, I mean, that much turnover is crazy. And, you know, we've talked about this game a bunch of different ways, and I want to reiterate something. You know, we talked about it from, hey, Georgia doesn't know what to expect, what to prepare for, totally new staff, over 70 new players, all this stuff. Well, I mean, advantage Georgia still. Not even just because they have
talent,
but you know, I mean, these guys are going to be playing together for the first time. I mean, another guy in there, another Georgia guy, Tony Mathis, running back, who played at Houston. He played at West Virginia. Now he's at Marshall, you know, Cedartown guy. You know, Georgia's familiar with running backs from Cedartown. But, you know, he good player, talented player, just had some problems with injuries in his career. That's, you know, looking through their roster, I noticed that with a lot of different guys. Now, I will say, you know, Catron Evans.
Yeah, that name jumped off the page to me.
Yeah, Catron Evans, giant human being. Okay, 6'3", 335 pounds, which means he could be anywhere between 335 pounds and 365 pounds. You have no idea how big this man is. You just know he carries a lot of weight. And one of the things I noticed about Marshall, Jake, is they've got 4 300-pounders on the interior defensive line. And you don't see that a lot with group of five schools. You know, the group of five schools are where 280 to 295-pound interior defensive linemen, you know, get their education paid for. You know, that's kind of where it goes. And for them to have some big guys up front, I think is, you know, that may end up being a pretty decent test for Georgia. For them to play against this many 22 and 23-year-olds may be a very good test for Georgia. I mean, think about it. You got Juan Gaston, sure, 6'7" plus, 340 pounds plus. He's still an 18-year-old going to have to drop block a 23-year-old. You know, like, I mean, that's different, you know, and I'm interested to see, you know, kind of how those guys handle that because, hey, there is a difference when guys are that old. Veteran teams tend to play better. With this one having not played together very much, though, I still think Georgia has got to handle business and especially got to handle business with Marshall kind of talking the way it did because I think Catron Evans was one of the guys that had something to say today.
Yeah, was that – that's who I was trying to figure it out. Was that Catron Evans?
I'm pretty sure it was.
Okay. I haven't seen him in a long time. But among the things he said, we're going to shock them. This is the best time to have Georgia. And Sanford Stadium is not an atmosphere I haven't been in. Now, that one actually was true. And I don't know that I necessarily disagree with him that this is the best time to catch Georgia. He's probably right about that. You know, I think that – Georgia is replacing some key pieces too. It's not replacing 70 people, but it's replacing its own guys too. And I think you also have kind of the element of surprise that can work in favor of the Thunder and Herd. They're probably going to be able to throw a trick play in there that Georgia has had no way whatsoever to prepare for because Where would you? Where would you find that film? So from the respect of, you know, catch him at the right time or at the best time, I don't know that he's wrong there. When he says we're going to shock them, I do think he's very wrong there.
Yeah, I mean, well, one player said that they had a history with Georgia. I want to say it was a cornerback, I believe it was. I can't remember his name, but I think he said something about we have history with Georgia. The last time we played them, it was pretty close, brother. That wasn't you. That wasn't we. I don't even know if you were born. When that happened, I don't know when the last time Georgia played Marshall was, but I'm pretty sure it was in 2004.
I want to say it happened while I was in college, so it may have been after that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. They've only played them once ever, and that game was in 2004. It was September 18th, 2004. Georgia beat them in a thriller, 13-3.
Yikes.
13-3. That, you know, the funny thing was maybe that was a little bit of a harbinger of things to come for that Georgia team. That was the David Pollock came back. David Green came back. Odell Thurman, Thomas Davis. I mean, Georgia was kind of loaded. Now, obviously, they were very good defensively. But that season did not turn out the way I think a lot of people expected it to for Georgia. But, I mean, was this young man born after 2004? I certainly don't believe he was out of diapers by 2004.
Oh, yeah. That's very fair.
He's certainly in diapers.
Also, they just don't really have any history. There's not, I mean, like, they're, one we game is one, not history.
We got 60 minutes of game time in our history. I don't know. Maybe some other history. Maybe a lot of Georgia players have watched We Are Marshall or something like that. You know, maybe
shout out to my guy, Coach Donnan, for sure.
That's right. But, we love Donnan. We got Coach D. He's the competition, kind of friendly foe, I believe, or some sort of whatever we call that. But no, I mean, Marshall's got a cool little program. You know, I love the tradition there. I love the colors. Yeah. I love the colors.
Oh, absolutely. The herd, man. I think that they got a cool. I think the mascot's cool. I think that there's a lot going for Marshall, man.
Yeah, and I mean West Virginia, brother. I mean Mountain Mama, take me home.
I don't think they sing that song. I think that's the other school that sings.
They need to, though. Yeah, everybody from West Virginia needs to sing that song. Nick Saban's from West Virginia. But no, I mean, this team's got so much newness, so much turnover. I'm not trying to say none of these players are good, but again, they haven't played together before. And they certainly haven't gotten rocked together before.
To be honest, looking through the roster, I was a little. You said I'm not trying to say that these players aren't good. Some of these were good players. I mean, coming out of high school, at least, right? I mean, this may, for all intents and purposes, Jake, be a more talented roster than the one Marshall had last year. I haven't compared the two, but you could probably I don't know how many guys they had, like a Catron Evans last year, who I remember being a really highly rated guy. Tony Mathis was a four-star guy. I believe Del Rio was a four-star guy. I mean, for God's sake, he went to Florida to play quarterback. Now, whether he should or shouldn't have done that, who's to say? But he did, and that's what happened. And now he's
with Marshall. I think you might be mixing Catron Evans and Catron Allen up.
Catron Evans was a big guy too, wasn't he? Where did he play? Penn State?
No, see, that's Catron Allen.
Yeah, where did he play high school or college? I mean,
He signed with Charlotte coming out of high school. Jackson first, but he did play at St. Francis Academy. Looks like.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was gonna say something about that's not adding up to me.
Yeah, he's a big man.
Yeah, I think he had some far better offers than that. If I'm being totally honest with you,
I don't remember him too much as a recruit, but he sounds like a really good football player. Catron Evans, kind of guy you might need to fear on a football field. And then you look and you see 6'4", 6'3", 335, 340, big human being.
Sure. Okay. Here you go. He had a Georgia offer in high school. Alabama, Auburn, Florida State, LSU, Ohio State, Oklahoma. So something went wrong along the way for Catron Evans.
Yeah, I mean, ended up at Jackson State, looks like, coming out of high school. So that spells, you know, maybe some qualifying issues as far as that goes. But yeah, that's a good pull there. I mean, I guess he did. And you know, I don't know how long he's been at Marshall. I don't know when he got there precisely, but ultimately kind of had a little bit of a history there with their previous head coach in Charles Huff. He played 2024 at Charlotte, so certainly came to certainly got to Marshall after Charles Huff had left. But they're going to have some good players. I mean, let's just be honest. You don't play college football unless you've got some talent, and we've seen it over the years. Even when you play group of five schools, FCS schools, they usually have somebody that'll impress you, like that, at least one or two players. You know, I've seen the Andy Isabellas roll through and the Ollie, what's his face from Last Chance U that played for Nichols State that year. You know, these smaller schools usually do have some good players. With all of that said, Jake Roos, I want your opinion on this because I am emphatically saying no. I would not bet on this. I don't see Georgia covering 39.5 points, especially not with.
I'm almost never going to pick that.
Yeah, if Georgia gets a 21 point lead, you're going to get to see a lot of different players play. And I'm not saying they're going to empty the bench at that point, but if Georgia builds a lead out, they're going to have to do it with a lot of young, inexperienced players in the game because they're going to do it as much as they possibly can and try to get ready for the rest of the season.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. You're just never going to get me to do that for the most part. I think that it wouldn't shock me if that ends up being the differential, but I couldn't place money on that personally.
So, listen, this is the last Georgia show before the game, but we've got a pregame show coming up on Saturday, live from Redstone Market and Butcher, over off of Highway 129 there right before you get into Athens. And, man, I'm excited about it. We're going to be broadcasting. I'll be out there starting around 9:30 a.m., but we're going to be broadcasting starting at approximately, I don't know, 10:30, maybe on the dot. Who knows? But yeah, we'll start
approximately 10:30 on the dot.
Yeah, right. Approximately 10:30 on the dot. And, what's going to be cool about that is we're going to go for an hour. You know, you'll be on, Rusty will be on, I'll be on. We'll be talking about the game. I'm going to give people a tour of the store and what's going on there. But listen, there's your tailgate box right there. This is from our Instagram feed. That's one of the few tailgate options, several tailgate options, I'm sorry, that they've got for you as far as boxes go. And Rusty kind of swung through there, a little official tailgate headquarters, you know, using the HQ there. We always love that. This place is beautiful. It's brand new. And I've got to say it. I've said it a few times to Rusty on here, but I've got to point this out. Some of the most unique Georgia apparel you will find, like shirts that you're not going to find anywhere else. They had specially made for Redstone. A lot of different accessories, decals, all that stuff. As you see, very good craft beer selection. Walk-in freezer there for your bevs. And then, you know, look, I mean, all of this different tailgate swag is awesome. You know, and you listen, it's a place you can have a lot of fun. I'm going to go ahead and say this right now. The best pulled pork I've ever had, period. And I'm a pulled pork snob. Wow. Okay. Like I am. This is my favorite barbecue to eat, but they have the best pulled pork I have ever had. It's so consistent. It's so good. Go check it out.
And can be so unspectacular. So that's, you know, like if you don't do it right, man, I'm intrigued to hear you say that.
They absolutely crush it. They absolutely crush it with the pulled pork. I mean, I have to swing by there. I mean, I drive by it all the time on my way home, and I always swing through there every chance I get and grab some pulled pork because it's that good. Even when we did a live pregame show there from G-Day, you know, they offered me like, hey, you need a sandwich? You guys need anything? I was like, no, I'm good. And then when we were done, everybody kind of scattered, and I bought two and headed into G-Day. So I didn't even care about spending money on it because it was so good. But they're wonderful. Well, also an incredible mix of barbecue sauces there too. Try the Ogre sauce that they sell. I don't even know who makes it, but I got it for my birthday. My in-laws got it for me. It's amazing. But they've got just about anything you can want there. And customer service is fantastic. And John and Sylvan Cown, Adam Carmine, those guys who run it are fantastic people too. Again, support your local business and come by and hang out with us. Shoot, you come by and you make an impression, I may just pull you onto the show and say, hey, let's interview a fan for the Dogs HQ pregame show. We're excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Should be a great time. Great way to start your day, no question about it. Get you some good grub, get you some road sodas, and get on the road, man. Guys, that's it, man. Here. Tune in for the pregame show approximately 10:30 on the dot on Saturday. You know we'll be back with Georgia's show on Sunday as well. And just an exciting weekend, man. It's back. It's really, really happening. And a great slate of games, even outside of Georgia this weekend.
Too. And watch this. Really and listen, watch this Georgia-Marshall game. There's a lot of history between these two teams. Maybe even some bad blood. So they played each other 21 years ago once, and it was a 10-point game. So watch out.
Everyone's memory.
There, burned in everyone's memory.
Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We will catch you very, very soon here on the Dogs HQ YouTube channel. Take care.